Father, we thank you for your word that is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit. Thank you that all scripture is God-breathed and inspired, useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in your righteousness. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. And with those same Bibles, if you would turn to Deuteronomy chapter 26. So we're starting a new series today, and I'm calling it First and Best. And today's message is on our first fruit. Now, some of you who've been with us for a while, we've shared at different times what first fruit is about. And we want to go through that again with some new revelation that the Lord has shared with us. And let's begin reading in Deuteronomy 26, 1 through 11. And it shall be, when you come into the land which the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance, you possess it and dwell in it, that you shall take some of the first of all the produce of the ground, which you shall bring from your land that the Lord your God has given you, and put it in a basket, and go to the place where the Lord your God chooses to make his name abide. And you shall go to the one who is priest in those days, and say to him, I declare today to the Lord your God that I have come to this country, to the country which the Lord swore to our fathers to give us. Then the priest will take the basket out of your hand and set it down before the altar of the Lord your God. And you shall answer and say before the Lord your God, my father was a Syrian about to perish, and he went down to Egypt and dwelt there, few in number, and there he became a nation, great and mighty and populous. But the Egyptians mistreated us, afflicted us, and laid hard bondage on us. Then we cried out to the Lord God of our fathers, and the Lord heard our voice and looked on our affliction and our labor and our oppression. So the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm, with great terror and signs and wonders. He has brought us to this place and has given us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And now behold, I have brought the first fruit of the land which you, O Lord, have given me. Then you shall set it before the Lord your God and worship before the Lord your God. So you shall rejoice in every good thing which the Lord your God has given to you and your house and the Levite and the stranger who is among you. So this story is basically saying here that when you come into this new place that God is taking you to, when you enter a new realm, when you begin something new, you claim new territory in your life. And in the example here was entering the physical land, the first grain of the harvest. You dedicate it to the Lord. You go to the priest and dedicate it in remembrance. So this is one of the original passages that speaks of first fruit. And we have to keep in mind something. You know, we spent the first month of 2017 dedicating this month to God as our first fruit offering. This is something new. We've entered a new realm in going from 2016 to 2017. You know, I think about today, Sunday. Yes, the Jewish people worship on the Sabbath, which is Saturday, but Sunday is the first day of the week. So we come together and we offer this day to him as our first fruit as we enter the realm of a new work week or a new week period. It's something new. So we dedicated, we started off on the right foundation. And if you think about it that way, it kind of makes you scratch your head, you know, when you start thinking, well, maybe I could miss worshiping Sunday morning this week. You know, maybe I can skip out on it. Well, You're not just skipping out on a service if you're understanding that our time together is a first fruit offering of the week for God. Because see, first fruit is about a couple of things. It's about something new taking place. And whether it's a new day, a new week, when you wake up in the morning, David in his psalm says, I rise in the morning and I worship you and I praise the Lord. Your mercies are new every morning, the beginnings. It's a fresh start. That's a first fruit offering to God. We dedicate that time, the beginning of a new day, to God. That's why spiritually, from a principle point of view, getting up early to spend time with the Lord before we do anything else is so important, because it provides the foundation to build on for the week or for the day. Getting up on Sunday, worship together, builds the foundation for the week and so forth. Dedicating a month of fasting and praying to set in motion what's to come for the rest of the year. It's important to do these things. So it's about something new taking place. It's also about honoring the Lord with any increase. So anything new is an increase, because it's something I didn't have before. My tomorrow is not promised to me, right? So by waking up tomorrow morning and dedicating the first thing in the morning, I'm dedicating the new that wasn't promised to me, that I didn't have yesterday. When I woke up this morning, there was no guarantee yesterday I was going to wake up this morning. The breath that I breathe, it's dedicated. So it's something new. It's about honoring God with whatever increase is going on in my life. And that, in many ways, it's monetarily as well. Here, the passage we read talked about grain offering. And we'll read in a little bit and see different types of offerings that are given. But you know, one of the things my wife and I have committed to, and I just share this as a testimony, that's it. Whenever either one of us starts a new job, that check, because that's something new, that first check goes to the Lord as a first fruit offering, because it's something we didn't have before. So that whole check goes to the Lord one way or another. Again, just sharing that as an example in our commitment to honor God for these things. And what we're doing is trusting God, who is Jehovah Jireh, my provider, to take care of us in need moving forward. Even though you're going, wait a minute, I haven't worked in a month. How am I going to pay these bills? But you know what? The Lord makes it happen. Don't ask me how. He can turn a few fish and a few loaves of bread to feed thousands. He can take care of us for another couple of weeks. So he can do this. So never underestimate him. But more than anything else, in these things, it's about worship. It's an act of worship. It's an act of making him first, of pouring my heart out to him. Part of worship is emptying me of me and being filled with him. So when I do this, what I am doing is I am worshiping you, because Lord, I'm not putting worry, fear, anxiety, any of those things. I'm not going to wonder about the hows, the wheres, and the whats. I am going to worship you. That's why he says, when we give a sacrifice of praise, I'm giving up the space in my heart, in my mind, in my thoughts that I have taken up for so long, and I'm putting Jesus there, and I'm going to release that praise. So it's about worship. Everything we do is an act of worship. Obedience is an act of worship. Staying true to his principles is an act of worship. Now, couple of other things. God owns it all. God owns it all. And our job is to be a good steward. Now, we've heard that term a lot. You know what the word steward means? In the dictionary, a steward is a person who manages another person's property or financial affairs. One who administers anything as the agent of another or others. a person who has charge of a household of another, buying or obtaining food, directing the servants, etc. Even the days, even the weeks don't belong to us. They are God's. He owns it all. So our job is to be a good steward of the one whose property we are managing. He's the one who got me the job that I got. He's the one who brings me the paycheck. He's the one who gave me this. We're to be good stewards of our children. He's the one who gave us our children. Our children, moms and dads, are not really ours. We're just managing them till we kick them out of the house. Kind of thing. Everything belongs to God. And if we look at it that way, it changes our perspective. And if it belongs to Him, isn't He going to take care of us with what He has? And we're going to, in the future weeks, talk about this, that He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. His storehouses are overflowing. He will take care of us. He's got these things covered. So our job is to be a good steward. So first fruits. The first portion of the fruit of each year's harvest in the original context that following the biblical injunction was to be taken to the temple in Jerusalem and offered to God. So at the beginning of every harvest, everyone was to offer the first. And usually, guys, the first is the best. So you're not just giving God, well, this is first, but it's a little, bruised. This apple is bruised and looked a little rotten. I'll just give it to God. No. You give God the very best. Jesus, the paschal lamb, this lamb that was sacrificed, was perfect and unblemished. That was God's first fruit offering. The very best of man was sacrificed as an offering for our sins. Think about that. So it's not just the first, it is the best within that. In Hebrew, the term bikurim, B-I-K-K-U-R-I-M, and related forms for first fruits derive from the same root, which is bekor, B-K-H-O-R, which means firstborn. So the principles are the firstborn of man and beast belonged to God of Israel and were to be devoted to Him. So the firstborn, first thing, man and beast, belong to God. The first grains to ripen each season were to be brought as an offering to God, your first and your best. And every Israelite who possessed the means of agriculture and productivity was under this obligation. And you can read this in Exodus 23 and 34, Numbers 15, if you're taking notes, and 18, and Deuteronomy 26 that we just read. And generally, what happens, they were brought to the priest, but were not burnt on the altar, but were merely displayed and later assigned to the priest as part of their care, because the priests weren't working for money. They're serving the Lord. So the priests needed to be provided for, because their time was devoted for God. So they would bring that in, and it would be displayed and blessed and given to God, and then God would allow for the priest to eat from it. Leviticus 2:14 speaks of minhat bikurim, a grain offering of first fruits, prescribing that part of it to be burnt in the altar. So there is specifically some parts that were. Now, the important thing is to remember, first fruits were an obligation to the individual and the corporate body. So it wasn't just the one person, and you can again read this if you're taking notes, Exodus 23 and 34, Leviticus 23, and Numbers 28. So it was for both. That's why as a church, we dedicated a month of fasting, but also as individuals, we encourage you to dedicate fasting for yourself. So the first fruits belong to us as a church. Anything we get as a church goes to God. We honor God with it. We bless Him. And I'm going to just share with you a little example of this. The Mishnah is the first written record of Jewish oral law. So it's basically oral law that the priest gave that was finally written down. In the Mishnah, it says this: in the early morning hours, the people gathered in the open squares of the district and towns, and they started their journey to Jerusalem. So real early in the morning, they start making their way to Jerusalem. And as they're making, remember, I told you this is about worship, right? They're singing, "Arise ye and let us go up to Zion unto the Lord our God." So they're praising God as they're carrying their first fruit offerings. They're worshiping him. The people walked in a procession headed by an ox whose horns were wreathed with gold and silver and his head with olive branches. They're celebrating the fact that God blessed them and they're able to do this. So they're having a parade. You know, it's like the Yankees winning the World Series. New York having a parade in Manhattan. Well, they're having a parade celebrating the victory that God has given them and the new things that God has blessed them with. Pilgrims accompanied by musicians playing the flute. Rich people took the first fruit in baskets of silver and gold because they can afford silver and gold, while the poor carried them in wicker baskets of peeled willow branches. Doesn't matter. Remember, the Bible says there's no Jew or Gentile, man or woman in Christ. All of them were together celebrating what God has done. At the outskirts of Jerusalem, the procession was met by the temple prefects and treasurers, and the pilgrims were then escorted amid cheers of the populace into the Temple Mount. So they were celebrating. Even if you weren't part of the parade, you were celebrating those that were bringing it in and giving glory to God. It was ordained that all the people repeat the confession as it was read to them by a priest. So a priest then would read a confession out of Psalm 30. So the Levites would welcome them with the chanting of Psalm 30. The people would repeat it. Then those who lived close to Jerusalem brought fresh fruit because they could carry the fresh fruit. And those who lived far, dried fruits. But it was still their first fruit offering because they didn't want the fruit to get nasty if you're living miles away, walking or going on donkey or camelback. Leviticus 23:17 says this when the fruit was fresh for those that lived close to Jerusalem. You shall bring from your dwellings two wave, loaves of tenths, of two tenths of an ephah. They shall be of fine flour. They shall be baked with leaven. They are the first fruits of the Lord. So it's given specific instructions of what the bread was supposed to be like. The offering of fresh grain was to be presented in two forms: loaves of baked, leavened bread. The minimum quantity of a first fruit that could be offered was 1/60th of the harvest. 1/60th of the harvest is the minimum. But you know what? When you're worshiping God, that's just a number, because you're going to give out of your heart. When it's true worship, you're not worried, well, I want to just get 1/60th. I just want to give God everything. So, but this was the minimum. The first fruit offering was accompanied by another shalemim, which is peace offerings. Pilgrims were bound out of respect for the temple to stay in Jerusalem overnight before returning to their villages, and that's in Deuteronomy 16:7. So they would go, they would offer, and they would stay in the temple worshiping overnight, and then they would go home. The first fruits were then consumed by the priests. So, why give a first fruit offering to God? Does he need it? No. But why do we do it? Again, it goes back to worship. It's an act of worship. It's an act of obedience and faithfulness that I trust you, Lord. And guys, I'm sharing this to the body, and I'm talking to the teenagers as well. Those of you who are going to be starting new jobs and working and doing new things, offer it to God. Offer it to God. Those of you who are on athletic teams in high school, your very first practice, your first game, Lord, I dedicate this to you. Let me be an example to you for all. Let me honor you today as my first fruit offering of this new season that I commit to you. So it's not just for the adults. When there's a parade, everyone's involved. When there's a celebration, everyone's involved. So everyone is rejoicing. But why do we do this? One, it's an offering of redemption. We read in Deuteronomy just now, in those first 9 verses, the fruits were given to the priest after the donor had recited a confession. You know, saying, we were foreigners, we came to a land, then Egypt, and they enslaved us after a while, but then the Lord freed us and took us to the land of milk and honey. So the Lord was redeeming them from difficult times. He was taking them from a difficult place and to the new, to where he has them to be, where he's called them to be. So it was an offering for redemption, giving thanks to God for redemption. Genesis 7, 1 through 3 says this, then the Lord said to Noah, come into the ark, you and all your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. You shall take with you 7 each of every clean animal, and male and female, to each of animals that are unclean, male and his female. Also 7 each of birds of the air, male and female, to keep the species alive on the face of the earth. So then jump in a chapter down to Genesis 8:20. Now they've landed. They've gotten to that place. The Lord redeemed Noah from the turmoil and the destruction that the rest of the world endured. He took him out of that difficult place to a new land, to a new place. They're starting a new life. Something new was about to take place. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took of every clean animal and every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. He offered a first fruit. They landed, Lord, you saved us. You took me from where I was and you put me somewhere new today. This was not promised to me other than your word said it was going to happen. So now I'm offering this to you right now. I'm giving this to you. Every clean animal, we're offering this burnt offering to you. And Leviticus 23:18 says, and you shall offer with the bread 7 lambs of the first year without blemish, 1 young bull and 2 rams. They shall be as a burnt offering to the Lord with their grain offering and their drink offerings, an offering made by fire for a sweet aroma to the Lord. Again, entering the new land of Canaan. This is what you're doing. It's a fresh start. So Lord, thank you for taking us from where we were and bringing us to where we are today. Thank you, Lord, that I did not have income coming in for bills to pay, but now I have this new job that's going to help pay these bills. Thank you, Lord, that I did not have this relationship before and I was going this route and living like this, and now I have this relationship and I consecrate it to you. I dedicate it to you. I offer it to you. I give you my best and my first right now. Lord is our Redeemer. And this first fruit is an offering of redemption. Second thing is first fruits offering is an offering of thankfulness and worship. And this is in verse 10 of what we just read in Deuteronomy, where he says, and now behold, I have brought the first fruit of the land which you, O Lord, have given me. Then you shall set it before the Lord your God and worship before the Lord your God. Jeremiah 2:3 says, Israel was holiness to the Lord, the first fruit of his increase. What does that mean? Well, Israel is the chosen people, right? They were God's first fruit. But who are we? We are the increase. We are his adopted sons and daughters. So they are his first fruit that he was thankful for, that they chose to obey. We are the continuation of that, who are thankful, that he chose us, that he's called us, that he's empowered us, that he's filled us, that he's embraced us, that we are part of his family, that we are called sons and daughters of God, of the living King. Israel was his first fruit, but we are the result of the blessings of a thankful heart and faithfulness. Because if it weren't for Israel, we would not be here today. If it were not for Israel, for the prophets, for Moses, for Jacob, for Isaac, for Abraham, if it weren't for Peter, John, Matthew, and the other disciples, Paul, who were Jewish, who were willing to receive because they were, again, a form of first fruit offering, and they imparted and blessed the rest of us that we can walk. We were embraced by that. We're able to move the way we move in power. We're able to worship as they worshiped. We're able to connect with God the way they connected. Why? Because Israel was his first fruit offering. God doesn't take back his offerings. Why was he so faithful to Israel even when they spit on his face in their disobedience? Because they were his first fruit offering. He wasn't giving up because he knew they were the first and they're the best of that generation, of that time. That's why he chose them. When he saw Abraham, he saw a man of God. Though he was a pagan at that time, but he saw a man hungry, a man who would follow him, who would step out in faith. That was a first fruit offering that God did with him. He chose to go. Genesis 4, 3 through 5a says, "In the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of fruit of the ground to the Lord, and Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but did not respect Cain and his offering." Now, that's been one of those questions. Why did God respect Abel and not Cain? It was their first fruit, was it? But there was something missing. Was it the best? Abel brought in the best of his offering. Cain did not. That is why God received Abel's first fruit and not Cain's. Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. It wasn't his first. It wasn't his best. It was just an offering. "Here you go, Lord. This is my leftovers." Abel brought his best and his first. That's why God respected him and honored that offering and did not. Because Abel was grateful for what he had. See, when we don't give God our best, what we're saying is, "I'm not so thankful, and I don't know if I can really trust you, God, so I'll give you what I think I don't need." When we make a sacrifice, it's got to hurt, guys. Think about it. Or else it's not a sacrifice. We're just then giving in abundance, which is more like a gift, which we'll get into another week. But when we make a sacrifice, it's supposed to hurt. And I don't mean hurt like physical pain. I'm talking about like, all right, it's going to put us in a position where we have to trust, where we have to have faith. Because if I do only what I can do, what do I need God? But I'm trusting God to do what I can't do. I'm trusting him, so I'm giving him my first, and I'm giving him my best. I'm trusting that everything in my life is going to be met because of who he is, and all I have to do is be obedient. You do it God's way, it works. God's way is always the best way, and it always works. May not make sense to our mind, but it works. It may not look good on paper, but it works. People may look at you funny, but it works because he's at work. It's faith. So it's an offering of thankfulness for God for what you brought to me, and I worship you with it. And the third thing is a first fruit offering is an offering for blessings. In Proverbs 3, 9 and 10 says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruit of all your increase. For all the blessings he gave you. Not just what you have, but the increase on top of what you have. So you don't have to go from poor to having. It's you can still have, but the increase of blessings for what you have. Seek first kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be what? Added unto you. I already have his, I've sought his kingdom. I'm clothed in his righteousness. Now he's adding stuff to it. Because my priorities are where they need to be. They're right. They're right exactly the way they need to be. So your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. See, this goes against a natural order. And that natural order within us is that of fear and anxiety. Because our fear and anxiety in the flesh is going to say, but how? How will I do this? And when we do that, we open the door to doubt, for the enemy's whisper in our ear. Because this is all about, again, worship within our obedience, our faith, our trusting in who he is, not what we have, in who he is. But see, if we don't look at it as an act of worship, but as something, oh, I've got to do this again, we're not doing it with a worshipful heart. We begin now to rationalize it. And that begins to open the door to doubt. And we start listening to the enemy, and we start saying, but we start having anxiety over things. How will I do this? How can I do this? How will I survive if I do this? But I need this right now. See, worship is abandonment. Worship is intimacy. Yeah, reckless abandonment. I like that. It's intimacy. Worship is connecting my heart with your heart. Worship is connecting my thoughts and my mind to your thoughts and your mind. If I look at it that way, I'm not leaving room for fear. I'm not leaving room for doubt. I'm not leaving room for anything. The reason we quit passing around an offering plate that the Lord told us to do a couple of years ago and put these boxes here, because we wanted even our giving to be an act of worship. Whether it's during our worship time, coming up and just as a form of laying it at the altar, or as you're coming into the house of worship with a worshipful heart, you put it in the front or the back. It's meant to be an act of worship. Not paying a bill or, you know, grudgingly. And again, we'll get to some of that a little bit more another time. But it's all about our attitude, especially our first fruit. Because it's not something that we think about a lot. We get something new, we start a new job, and we're thankful to God, but we don't think, oh my gosh, I need to dedicate this to the Lord. I need to consecrate this to the Lord. I need to figure out how God would be honored by my heart and my worship in dedicating and making this a first fruit. Could be financial. It doesn't have to be. You know, some of us have gardens in our backyards. Could be physically the first fruit of our garden. We bring in and donate it, honor God with it by giving it to a food pantry or somebody in need. It could literally be that simple for some of us. For others, it's how you honor God with your heart of worship. You trust Him with those things. This is our first fruit. We gave God the first fruit of this year. What do we expect? Well, we're thankful for our redemption, for making it another year. Not just making it, but the Lord brought us to a new land, a new season, a new place. He's taken this church to a new level in many, many ways. I'm seeing it in individuals, and I'm seeing it with a movement of the greater body. Seeing deeper worship. So our first fruit of this month have also included a deeper sense of worship to God, intimacy with God. We're being challenged where the enemy is trying to keep us from that. But also, we're believing in the increase that's coming. We've had several people in this body say, you know what, I just see more people, more worshipers, more growth, more passionate people coming in through these doors to honor God. Well, we're going to stand on that. And we're going to pray with that and faith about that. And we're going to believe that as we honor God, God will bring the increase of blessings. We're not seeking the blessings. We're seeking to honor Him. But in doing so, all these things shall be added unto us in His perfect way. That goes for us as a church, but it also goes for us as a household. So I challenge you to pray and think about your first fruits to the Lord. It's not too late. If you haven't and feel the compulsion to dedicate something to God, do something with it, it's not too late. You can still do that, but seek your heart, seek His heart in it all, whatever it might be. Would you stand with me? Lord, Holy Spirit, come. I'm just going to ask the Holy Spirit right now to just kind of reach down into your heart and just bring out a revelation of what He would be honored by us doing as a first fruit offering. Again, it's not too late, however it may be, whatever it might be, to trust You, Lord, with these things. Would You bring that out? Just let the Holy Spirit speak to you right now. What is He calling you to consecrate, to sanctify and separate for Him?